Welcome to the first session of Clarifying the Sage's Intent by Sakya Pandita. His Holiness the 42nd Sakya Treason says that before we start any practice, we should set our motivation, that is, to attain enlightenment for the sake of all beings. But he says, before we do that, we need to develop renunciation. And the reason for that is that the enlightenment thought, wanting to attain enlightenment for the sake of all beings, comes from developing compassion. And compassion comes from developing loving kindness. But all of that depends upon our renunciation. We need to have renunciation in order to be motivated correctly to do the practices. It's important that we have that in mind before we do any practice, including listening to teachings. His Eminence Chogyi Trichen Rinpoche said in his commentary on Parting from the Four Attachments that students need to examine the teaching and the teacher to make sure that they're authentic. How do we know that a teaching is authentic? According to His Holiness 42nd Sakya Treason, there are five ways that we can tell if a teaching is authentic, and it needs to satisfy all five of these ways. First of all, the teaching needs to be taught by Lord Buddha. Secondly, it needs to be collected later by great masters. Third, it needs to be meditated on by great yogis. Fourth, the teaching needs to be well known and explained by great scholars. And fifth, it needs to be translated by great translators. I think we can say that Clarifying the Sage's Intent qualifies as an authentic Dharma teaching. And Sakya Pandita, who was an emanation of the Buddha of Wisdom Manjushri, is definitely a qualified teacher. I think we can say that this teaching of Clarifying the Sage's Intent qualifies as an authentic teaching. And going back to His Holiness 42nd Sakya Treason, his conclusion is we need to make sure we have right dharma and right motivation. And he comments that right motivation includes taming your mind, not wishing for worldly results like a long life or abundance. Sakya Pandita was born in 1182 and he passed away in 1251. Sakya Pandita is actually a title, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but his name was Kunga Gyaltsen. And when he was born, he immediately started speaking Sanskrit. And also he was born with some of the marks of a Buddha, some of the 112 marks that Buddhas have in their body. For example, he had the top knot, the Ushnisha. He had the curled hair on his forehead, and he had webbed fingers and so on, as well as speaking Sanskrit. His mother had had lots of dreams when she was pregnant, so she knew beforehand that she was going to be giving birth to a Buddha emanation. He was extremely intelligent, and by the time he was age 19, he was already giving Vajrayana commentaries. As far as his title, Sakya Pandita, Sakya refers to the geographic area in Tibet, Sakya, where the Sakya school was founded. Pandita refers to a title which actually comes from India. A Pandita is someone who's mastered the five major sciences and the five minor sciences. The five major sciences being arts, crafts, and building. The second one being medicine. The third one being Sanskrit, with an emphasis on grammar, the fourth being logic, and the fifth being Buddhist philosophy. The five minor sciences being poetry, synonyms, lexicography, astrology, and dance and drama. Now, during the time period when Sakyapandita was alive, the Buddhist monasteries and temples in India were being overrun and destroyed, and the monastics were being killed by invaders. And so there were actually Indian Buddhist refugees who escaped to Tibet. And Sakyapandita ended up meeting some of these great masters. And one of the people that Sakyapandita met was called Shakyashri Bhadra, who ended up being one of his gurus, one of Sakyapandita's gurus. Shakyashri Bhadra was also a pandita, and he gave the title of Pandita to Sakyapandita because of Sakyapandita's extensive studies. The text clarifying the sage's intent is actually a commentary on the 61st and the 62nd verses of the 20th chapter of the Ornament of Mahayana Sutras, which was composed by Maitreya, the future Buddha, in Tushita Heaven. This was one of five texts that was retrieved by the Indian philosopher Asanga when he meditated on Maitreya and ended up having a vision of Maitreya, and Maitreya took him to Tushita Heaven and imparted five texts to Asanga, the Ornament of the Mahayana Sutras being one, the Ornament of Clear Realization, distinguishing the middle from the extremes, distinguishing dharmas and dharmata, and Light of Wisdom, which is also known as the Sublime Continuing. Those are the five texts that Asanga received from Maitreya and returned to Earth, to where he was living in India. And these texts are still existent today. So clarifying the sage's intent is a commentary on two verses from the Ornament of the Mahayana Sutras, which mostly comments on the conduct of a bodhisattva. Clarifying the sage's intent is actually a roadmap to enlightenment. It starts from before a person becomes a Buddhist, and then the person takes refuge and practices, the bodhisattva practices, goes through the Arya Bodhisattva grounds, or bhumis as they're called, until enlightenment. And the text describes all of the stages and also the practices that are involved in the bodhisattva's conduct. Going to the text itself, Sakyapandita begins the text with the traditional homage to his guru and to Manjushri. And this is done to increase wisdom and to reduce and eliminate ignorance. He also makes a third homage, which is to the enlightenment thought itself. And he says that the reason he does it is because Buddhas come from bodhisattvas, and bodhisattvas come from enlightenment thought, which is in the nature of emptiness and compassion. He then makes the traditional pledge of composition, which means he explains what he's going to explain. And he says that he will explain in brief the manner of entering the Mahayana path, as well as the path itself and the result. When he says in brief, the English translation of Sakyapandita's text is 650 pages in small print, plus there are 600 plus footnotes. So that's in brief. So he made all of that comment on two verses of Maitreya's text. In the pledge of composition, he lists the seven main topics that he'll be covering. Now, in Maitreya's original text, there are 10 topics, and Sakyapandita condensed them down to seven topics. The seven topics are Number one, recognizing the spiritual potential, which is Rig in Tibetan and Gotra in Sanskrit, which is translated into English as the base. You may have heard of the base, the path and result referred to in other teaching, and in this case, this is the base, your spiritual potential. The second topic in the text is appreciating the Dharma, which refers to refuge. The third topic is generating the thought of awakening, which of course is bodhicitta or enlightenment thought. The fourth is accomplishing the six perfections. The six perfections being generosity, morality, patience, joyous enthusiasm, meditation, and wisdom. The fifth topic is the four means to bring beings to spiritual maturity, which is another bodhisattva practice. The sixth topic is entering the noble path. This refers to the spiritual development of accomplishing the exalted higher bodhisattva levels, also known as the bhumis, or the grounds. These are the stages of very advanced spiritual accomplishment. And then the seventh topic is explaining the result, which refers to the attainment of Buddhahood, which is subdivided into three subtopics: non-situated nirvana, highest awakening, and the displaying of a Buddha's deeds. So we have seven topics covered in the text. And going back to the base, the path, and the result, the first topic is the base, and topics number 2 to number 6 are the path, and topic number 7 is the result. So that is a very brief introduction to clarifying the sage's intent and what will be covered in the coming weeks going through the text of Sakyapandita. And so, as always, we conclude with dedicating the merit for the benefit of all beings. Sarva Mangalam.